Have you been exploring your spirituality and learning more about yourself? And now you're ready to take bold, positive action. Are you seeking clarity about what is really blocking you from your greatest potential? Do you feel like you're so close to a breakthrough, but you can't figure out why you continue to feel stuck at the same level? Join us now for Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer, two transformational coaches who are eager to share all they've learned over the many years they've each been working with clients, helping them create the life they want. Joyce and Jennifer both have extensive, diverse backgrounds in the art of conscious transformation, and they are here to help you. So tune in now for the insight and tools you need to consciously live, work, and play so that you can live the life you most deeply long to experience.
Hi, it's Joyce here. Welcome to Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer. I'm a transformational coach, a life purpose facilitator, and retreat leader who guides women to find clarity and purpose in times of transition, change, loss, and transformation to live their lives the most authentic and courageous life they can. Welcome.
Hey, everyone. It's Jennifer, and I'm a transformational coach as well, a facilitator and a consultant, which basically means I transform the mentality of leaders so that their entire staff and corporate culture can shift toward higher purpose. But most importantly, as we all know, I'm a mom.
Well, welcome and happy new year to everybody. We'd like to start off this year with an intention for our show to continue to present cutting edge, life-changing topics that support emerging conscious change and transformation in 2018. We will also be doing interviews with authors and activists and change agents and health practitioners that are helping to transform the planet. So happy new year again, and I hope everybody had a wonderful new year and holiday and just was with blessed and with the people they loved. So, you know, for myself, it was an interesting holiday this year. It was nothing really happened, no drama. Instead, it was quiet and relaxing. Just friends and me sharing good food and some good movies and really resting. So, you know, what's so great about quiet is that I get the day end of the week to just daydream and to ponder about all the good things that happened this year, last year, and about all that I have to look forward to in 2018. And to remind myself that in spite of the obstacles that happen, I still have a really good life. So, Jennifer, I know your holiday was not quite as mine was.
No, I think I took all the drama from you. No, actually, it was definitely interesting. I will give it that. I think I've mentioned before that my mother is a full-time caretaker for my father in Indiana. My father is severely handicapped as a double amputee. He's a hemorrhagic stroke survivor and a two-time cancer survivor. We used to call him the Energizer Bunny because he's defied so many death sentences. He just keeps going and going and going. But now I lovingly call him Mr. Potato Head. I say that lovingly. With his numerous medical issues, he starts his day by putting on his legs and then his glasses because he has double vision as a byproduct of the stroke. His hearing aids so he can hear, his teeth, he lost those thanks to the dozens of medications over the years, and so forth. So, you know, you get an idea, right? Anyway, thanks to my mother, he looks amazing, and he does just keep going. More than anything, though, he's got this incredible spirit. He has the most positive attitude of anyone I know, even though he probably has one of the lowest quality of life, you know, of anyone I know. And so for me, he's proof every day that circumstances don't define our attitudes. They may break our spirits temporarily, of course, but we get to choose if they keep us down. That's what the beautiful thing about free will is, right? We get to make that choice every day. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, in our family, we, thus the Mr. Potato Head, right? We also have a strong sense of humor in our family, and this helps a lot. But, you know, for me, the real kicker is this. My mother has taken a huge hit, and she's a caretaker. And so I, you know, this is kind of a message for all the caretakers out there. You have a tough role. You know, my father gets a lot of attention and empathy and sympathy because of his obvious situation, his health challenges and his quality of life. But my mother is his loyal and devoted caretaker. She has sacrificed her quality of life to rise to the occasion. So, you know, his was circumstantial in terms of his medical issues, but hers was by choice as his devoted wife. And this has been going on for 20 years. So now as a family, our conversation has shifted from when my dad goes, when he decides to cross over, what will my mom do? And now we're starting to talk about what's going to happen when my mom goes, what will happen, what will dad do? It's a heavy, heavy topic, but this year we've been reminded of it again. So coming full circle, Joyce, with what you asked about the holidays, I just had to set the stage there to give everyone an idea of what it's like when I go visit home, which I love doing. Last year, my mom and dad spent Christmas in the hospital as my dad recovered from having half his kidney removed from cancer. And so this year, my mother ended up in the ER for the flu. And I don't know, those of you out there, where you live or what epidemics are going around, but influenza A is having a real joyride in Indiana right now. And I'm waiting for them to declare an epidemic. It's taking everyone down, and I got to see it with my own eyes, and it's really ugly. You know, we throw the term flu around very casually, but it's horrible. Anyway, I'm making a long story too long because I want listeners to get a full understanding of my parents' interesting lives. And now to top all this off, as if I haven't set the stage enough, my brother reunited with his birth mother this year, and she came in because I think everyone knows by now that I was adopted. He, too, was adopted. We came originally from different biological families. And she came in from Colorado to meet all of us at Christmas. So here we are on Christmas Day. My mom's headed to the ER. I'm still in Atlanta waiting to catch a flight. My brother left his wife, his six kids, and his birth mother in Indianapolis to take care of my parents who live 2 hours away. They were supposed to be at his house. So I flew up. My flight didn't get in until that evening. We tag teamed it. My sister-in-law found one lone bar open on Christmas night to take my brother's birth mother out for a drink for Christmas. I mean, is this crazy or what? It's the craziest Christmas story. Anyway, she was a barrel of fun. It just wasn't a very traditional Christmas for any of us. The next day I drove down to mom and dad, and my brother officially passed the baton. But anyway, that's my crazy. I took all your drama, Joyce. So while you were sitting here peacefully, here we go. The McKenna family strikes again.
Wow.
So, but we're all, you know, we're all healthy and happy. And my aunt took a hit for sitting with her in the ER waiting for us to get there. So she has the flu now. But anyway, I want to thank Ohm Times Radio for airing a rerun on my behalf last week. And I want to thank you, Joyce, for being so patient as we move through all that crazy drama. And I hope everyone out there had a fantastic holiday season and you were healthier. Anyway, let's get on with the show. It's a new year. We have a new topic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but I have to say, Jennifer, it says a lot about your coping skills and, you know, this is partly what we talk about is how when stress hits, how things happen to people all the time, everywhere, that you got to have resilience to get through this stuff because it's not only with you, you know, it happens to many, many people everywhere now. So I'm glad you have good resilience skills because you do. You really
Thank
do.
You.
So, yeah.
There's that.
So welcome. Yes, there's that. Thank God. Thank God. So welcome to our
yes.
show for today on living life without regrets. So, which is a big topic for a lot of people. So, you know, regrets, we all have them. Things said or done or not things left unsaid and undone, past that weren't followed, opportunities missed due to fear, insecurity. You know, Jennifer, there's a woman named Emma Freud, who's a columnist for The Guardian. She recently explored themes of regret that was on social media. She got her research from social media, covering everything from relationships to work-life balance and personal passions, addictions, illness, and death. And there's a long list of regrets. And chances are maybe people will hear as we talk about some of their regrets and how to let those regrets go as we move into 218. So a large number of people indicate that it was not what they have done, but what they did not do that was their deepest regrets. And I can understand that totally, because that's one very important to me. So according to Bonnie Ware, who's a former palliative care nurse, hospice nurse who has worked with clients for years and wrote a book, The Top Five Regrets of the Dying. And that's always interesting when people are passing over, what is it they wanted to do that they just didn't do? And have probably held on to that regret for their entire life. So based on her conversations with people who have passed over, the biggest, most commonly cited regrets at the end of life are, beginning with the most common regret of all, is one of the most frequently cited regrets at the end of life is not having the courage to be true to oneself, but rather doing what others expected. And I know we've talked about that before. So another regret is not having the, it's a big one, not having the courage to express one's feelings and emotions to people they love or cared for deeply. Other common regrets include working too much, not staying in touch with friends, and taking life too seriously and allowing worries to diminish your happiness. And, you know, most men at the end of their life say they regret missing out on family time because of excessive work. Unfortunately, many people find out too late that happiness is really an inside job. It's a choice, not a side effect of living any particular kind of life. And regret having life, have taken life too seriously, again, so they diminish their happiness and didn't spend it with the people they really love. So interestingly, according to more research, while a regret can be phrased either as an action or an inaction, so something you did or something you didn't do, an example would be, I wish I had not quit college versus I wish I had gone to college. Regrets framed as actions tend to be more emotionally intense. So the one you didn't do tends to be more intense than regrets about it. I mean, the other way around, that you did do is more intense. So the regrets about inactions, but inactions tend to be longer lasting. So that was a little confusing. One is that you did something, but you didn't finish it. And one is you didn't do it at all. And they're both have regrets attached to them. So I don't know about you, Jennifer, but I don't really, when I think about this, regret all that much. If I had not done what I did, I don't think I would have experienced all the wonderful opportunities and adventures in life that I actually did. You know, I didn't take the safe path of a secure job for most of my life. And, you know, I've had a small business and been an entrepreneur, since sometime in the 80s. And so, you know, your life is always up and down, and you can, you know, you find yourself living on the edge way too often when you're in small business and when you're starting a small business. And so some years have been great and some years have been, you know, living on the edge. For me, it's like what most people say. It is not what I did. It was what I did not do that I would regret. And I have a few things that, you know, I sort of have some regret around, but not a whole lot. You know, I sort of regret that I didn't move to California, because I always wanted to move to California, but I didn't. And I don't know if it's appropriate for me to move to California right now. And, you know, if I had a job, a regular job, I'd certainly probably be more financially stable, but I'm not. So, you know, that's the way it is. And, you know, there are also a few good men that I let go that I wish maybe I had held on to longer to see if they were, you know, if that was the right one for me. So, fortunately, you know, I can still work on some of these things. I'm not that close to death, but, you know, I'm moving in that direction. But I have some time to look at it. So, Jennifer, how about you? Any regrets?
Yeah, well, you know, it's such a loaded question. It's just such a loaded question, isn't it? I think that's why this such a big topic today. And I think you hit it on the head, Joyce, when you said that one thing led to another. And so, you know, one seemingly bad decision is taking you on a new adventure that you don't regret. So for me, I think I'm more typical in the sense that I'm just really good at beating myself up. So is that regret? It probably depends on the day. you know, I've had a deeply unconscious habit for many years, the majority of my life, I had a deeply unconscious habit of beating myself up. So I think there was some kind of a low-level regret implied in that terrible habit. And I think that recently my business coach, my friends, and even my clients would bust me on it. So I've had a fairly recent and real conscious awakening to hear this kind of feedback from others to stop, you know, be better to myself, be nicer to myself. And so I think I was just so unaware of my obsessive tendency to be self-abusive in my thoughts and words. And because I'm so analytical, I never really saw these negative thoughts as regrets. And that's just simply because I could track down all the bad dominoes that fell in my life and find the original one. And it most often wasn't something I could have changed all that much because it had something to do with my heart. And I don't know about you, but I can control my thoughts and actions when I set out to, but I've never been able to control my heart. I don't think I even want to, right? Because when we follow it, it leads us to these beautiful things. It's just that sometimes then we can allow that to become a bad thing when our mind starts to intervene, and then we start to make bad decisions. So, you know, it's just such a loaded question. I think I also look at my parents and I think, you know, the hardship that my mom faces, I mean, talk about resiliency, those two, phew, I learned it from the best. And I think when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this because they're such great examples of, could they live in regret? Yes. Do they? No. And I think there's a lot of powerful insight to take from that. So we'll pick it back up when we get back from a break.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Have you or someone you love ever experienced a major loss? The kind of loss so cataclysmic that it divided life into before and after. The death of a beloved person or pet, the loss of a job, a health challenge, can leave us feeling empty, lost, alone, wondering if we'll ever feel joy again. Loss is universal. Grief is part of the human condition. But in our modern world, we've lost the ability to understand, share, and integrate our grief. We're expected to grieve privately and quickly get over it. This February 23rd through 25th, the Atlanta Grief and Loss Center will be hosting a retreat that will allow you to fully feel, integrate, and catalyze your grief. Our retreat is called Heartbroken Open, Grief as a Sacred Path to Renewal and Rebirth. If you are grieving, or if you work with clients who are grieving, you'll find more information about this powerful retreat at AtlantaGriefAndLossCenter.com/retreats or call 404-881-1322. America's wild Mustangs need our support more than ever. If you believe in the preservation of our iconic wild Mustangs and our wild places, now and for future generations, we invite you to walk with Wild Love Preserve. Founded in 2010, nonprofit Wild Love Preserve has pioneered an innovative model in wild horse conservation, which has garnered national attention and is serving as a framework in the West. As a unique legacy project, kindness, mutual respect, science, and education drive Wild Love Preserve's mission to protect and preserve Western wild horses in their native habitats and nurture the legacy of respective indigenous ecosystems as an interconnected whole for future generations to equally treasure and nurture. Thank you for your action and for having a positive impact on our lasting wildness. Together, we succeed on behalf of our greater good and collective well-being. As a charitable nonprofit, Wild Love Preserve relies on donations and grants to fund our operations in Central Idaho. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation to Wild Love Preserve. Please visit wildlovepreserve.org to learn more.
So, welcome back. I have kind of interjected my parents' story into this show today without their permission. So, Mom and Dad, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I've been your daughter for 48 years, so you're probably used to it by now. I will add that they are amazing, truly extraordinary people. So I share their story because I think they are far greater inspiration and motivation than anything that I've done. But, you know, you look at a guy like my father who has lost both of his legs, and does he ever regret? He probably regrets smoking so much, but I think in his time frame when he was a smoker, it was such a common lifestyle habit. Nobody really talked much about it being detrimental, and certainly no one he knew had peripheral vascular disease, so it never occurred to him, right, that this might be what this leads to. And as for my mother, does she have regrets for taking care of this man for so many years? Absolutely not, because she knows she married the love of her life. So I think, you know, it's they have such an interesting life experience to analyze. But you asked me, Joyce, about my regrets. And I think, you know, for the most part, I'm able to recognize that all things happen for a higher purpose. And so even when they hurt and that cognitive shift, it just helps me to find peace more readily so that I can focus on embracing the new path that has been presented to me instead of lamenting it. But there are times in my life, there have been major times in my life when I've experienced such serious hardship that it's not as easy to be so mentally agile. And one of the biggest challenges with that is that once you move past the analyses and regret, it's hard to learn how to trust your own judgment again. I think that's a big thing with living with regret. It's you kind of stay in this fear paralysis because you're afraid to take action again. You're afraid of your own decision making. And that may be another topic for another show. I don't know, but it sure is a doozy. And when we don't trust our own judgment because we perceive one of our big decisions as a mistake, well, then that's the surefire way to end up living in regret. So I think for our listeners, I just strongly encourage you to think long and hard about that concept. Are you stuck in regret because you are simply afraid to trust yourself again? And this isn't just in our personal lives like we've talked about, but for those of you out there leading teams in the workplace and businesses out there, I know you're dealing with this too. And what I can say to you with certainty is this: if you fail to trust yourself again, you will absolutely fail. So let's all wake up now and realize that we did the best we could with what we had at the time, with the circumstances, the data, the knowledge, where we were, and whatever mistake you may be allowing to haunt you was trying to get your attention for a different reason. It wasn't trying to take you down. So that situation, whatever it was, didn't happen because you're an idiot or because you're a bad decision maker. So let's clear the slate on those self-judgments and make a commitment to look at the situation differently if we're going to look retrospectively, and allow it to motivate us towards something even better than we originally intended. But, you know, for now, Joyce, let's shift a little bit. How do you think we can avoid regrets and live a more meaningful life instead?
Well, I wanted to say I love how you connected that, because I think there's so many people. I'll just take one as far as trusting yourself again, particularly with relationships. I can relate to that, but I know many women can relate to that, or probably many men can relate to it also, that if you make a couple relationship mistakes, and there's probably a pocket of regret around that, but there's also
I'm not going to do that again because I don't trust my judgment. And I think that's a really powerful thing for everybody to look at. I'm glad you brought that, did that connection between those two subjects, because it's a really powerful thing to think about. So, yeah,
well,
you asked
where I've gotten stuck along the way,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
That's where I've gotten stuck along the way.
Well,
that's why I wanted to bring it up. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've gotten stuck there too, that you just don't know if you should move, if you should try something again. Like, it's like, well, you know, it's like if you lost your house, do you buy another house? Do you, you know,
right.
do you have a sports car? Do you buy another sports car? I mean, it's just like, do you do this? Do you jump back in again? You know, where's the judgment, and where maybe is a bad judgment? And it's an interesting topic, though. I really like it, and I'd love to do a show on that for us to do that. But so you asked me, how do we really avoid regrets and live a more meaningful life? So, you know, I've got a few suggestions. I'm sure you have some too. So, you know, I think let's go back to our first radio show where we discussed living a life of purpose. And we discussed the need to heal your core wounds and to work on manifesting your life purpose. Now, I'll have to say, to me, this is the essential healing work for your life that is needed so you can live a meaningful life. This is the ground, this is the groundwork. It's the beginning work. If you want to have a more meaningful life and let go of regret, then healing those old wounds is absolutely essential. Without it, I don't know. It drags along a big bag full of regret on your back for the rest of your life. So, you know, it's just really important to try to let go of regret and really try to honor at least some of your dreams and passions. There are people who never really dug in and had their dreams manifest for them because they're just too fearful that they don't deserve it, or they're not going to get it. But it's critical in a lifetime that you work on your passions and your dreams to really have a fulfilled life. You know, secondly, when we heard about a lot of the regrets, it was about people working too much, which we all, it's a huge one. So, you know, I think simplify your lifestyle. One of the ways is to simplify your lifestyle and make conscious choices along the way. You know, it's really possible to not need the income that we think that we do, so that we don't have to work so much. And by creating more space in your life, you become happier and more open to new opportunities, ones more suited to your lifestyle. And I know since I've stopped working so much, I'm a lot happier. I can tell you that. There's a big difference in how I daily feel that I'm not working and seeing so many clients all the time, that I've kind of balanced it out. So, you know, another common regret, of course, is regretting not living more in the moment. This is a big one. And it's, you know, in its constant connectivity with smartphones and other technologies increased, more and more people are bound to experience this regret at the end of their lives, or, you know, as they even age. You know, as the years wear on. So living in the now is a major component of happiness. And it's a significant way to grow in gratitude, both of which also have an impact on health and longevity. So, you know, it's really difficult to cultivate gratitude if you're constantly running, always looking ahead, or alternatively looking to the past. Gratitude requires you to be in the moment and appreciate what's in front of you right now. And a commonly recommended practice that can be very helpful is to keep a daily gratitude journal. And this can be done in a paper journal, or you can download a gratitude journal app from iTunes. So, you know, and there was a study that I was looking at that participants who kept a gratitude diary and reflected on what they were grateful for at least four times a week for 3 weeks reported improvement in depression, stress, and happiness. You know, a mindfulness intervention consisting of mindfulness diary and mindfulness meditation led to similar improvements. You know, remember, you tend to get more of what you focus on, so you're mindful of the kinds of thoughts
that you entertain when you're writing stuff down. Your brain can actually become hardwired to feel anxiety, depression, irritability, or anger the longer and the more frequently such thoughts are allowed to persist. You know, it's noted by Robert Emmons, who wrote this book, The Little Book of Gratitude. So everything we do creates connections within the network of the brain. And the more you repeat something, the stronger those connections get. So the mind can change the brain in lasting ways. In other words, what flows through the mind sculptures the brain. And oftentimes we get so busy, we forget to keep in touch, you know, with our old friends. And over time, these relationships just kind of fizzle out. Then as we age, loneliness creeps in. It can be difficult to build a friendship at any age, but it certainly does not get easier with advanced age, when poor health starts often limiting your ability to get out and to socialize. So also remember that many, many choices, many chronic illnesses relating to bitterness and resentment are carried as a result of holding your feelings in and opting to keep quiet just to keep the peace. This is a huge issue. Jennifer, I know you've seen it. I know I see it with clients.
Yes.
Where they do not speak who they are, and they start developing all kinds of things, chronic fatigue, just all kinds of issues come in their bodies because they feel they need to keep their emotions to their self. It's not really recognized so much when you go to a doctor that there's something emotional. There's an emotional component there that's going on in your life.
Right.
There's maybe some sadness, some loss, some grief that you've never even dealt with before, and you never have really spoken some of these things. And so, sort of bring this to an end, you know, so I believe for myself that your life is your own. Live it the way you want to. So the take-home message here for me is, if you're currently doing or avoiding doing something, you know you'll regret. If you only had a week left to live, change course now. Don't wait years or decades. Eventually, you run out of time and to be left holding a bag of regrets. So your life is your own. You're the only one who can live it successfully. So follow your dreams and passions and let go of unnecessary baggage and false limitations. At the end of your life, you'll realize you don't care about what people really think of you nearly as much as you believe you do today. And if you're like most, you'll come to the realization that happiness is, in fact, an ever-present choice. So, Jennifer, what are some of the ways we can steer our life away from living with regrets and instead live a more fulfilling life? What do you think about this?
Oh, my goodness. I have so much to say, and you've touched on so many power topics there. I think we've identified even another future show topic in that whole chronic illness mind-body connection. I've got a long history with that, not just in my own life, but in lots of clients' lives and so forth, and it's just a power topic. So, but yeah, you know, talking about all these things that you're saying, I think I'd like to chime in here with some neuroscience to support it, just to validate everything, because I think a lot of people will say, yeah, I want to do that. I want to, you know, be more grateful. I want to be in the moment. I want to live my life. I want to pursue things. I don't want to sit here and put things off another day, but it's easier said than done. Well, here's why. You know, there's a neuroscience researcher at UCLA named Alex Korb who's released a lot of information related to all this. The most important thing to do, he says, when you're feeling down or regretful, is to ask yourself what you are grateful for. So you just said that, Joyce, but let's talk about the neuroscience.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did a show on the grace of gratitude a few weeks ago, and we both wholeheartedly believe in this. Now, neuroscience is all over it now, too, which is super exciting. So it's important for all of us to understand that this isn't just an opinion. It's not just a lighthearted suggestion. Your brain literally responds predictably to certain stimulants, and I'm not talking about caffeine. I mean, what we consciously feed our brain in terms of our thoughts is crucial. And we've talked about this over and over and over, but what Korb's research says is that guilt and shame, the two big emotions related to regret, mind you, These two activate the brain's reward center. Okay, the reward center. That means that the brain likes it. Of course, I could throw out the areas of the brain that comprise the reward center, like the amygdala, the dorsomedial prefrontal cortex, the insula, and so forth, but that only makes me sound a lot smarter than I actually am. I'm merely citing the research to emphasize to you the importance of taking control of your brain's activity by beating it at its own game. This guilt-shame activation in the reward center of your brain explains why we all can feel so stuck in those emotions and then become addicted to the notion that we're just bad people making bad decisions. No, 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 no. Our higher selves and our spirits know better than this. And I've always told clients that the human spirit is the only thing stronger than the human brain. So activate that. But let's take this research one step further. What does gratitude actually do in terms of all that brain activity? It activates dopamine and serotonin, the two neurotransmitters that make us happy, the two things that well-known antidepressant pharmaceuticals activate themselves. So basically, it comes down to this. Do you want to be on drugs to solve your problem? Or do you want to be more disciplined in focusing and expressing gratitude all the time? They basically do the same things. The big difference is the side effects, right? We all know drugs have negative side effects. I mean, listen to any commercial about a drug and you could go on and on and on with all the other things it can do. Mm-hmm. But what about gratitude? Well, look out, everyone. Those side effects can include a higher quantity of smiling and laughing, stronger, more enjoyable relationships, and a better social life. So how about that for side effects? The exercise of gratitude also increases your emotional intelligence, which, as the neuroscience also suggests, then increases your brain's efficiency at all of this, which in simple terms means that it becomes much easier to be grateful and keep this positive cycle going. The more you do it, the more you create, the more efficient you become. So I want to thank Eric Barger for writing an article called New Neuroscience Reveals Four Rituals That Will Make You Happy, which condenses all of this great research into one easy read. Look it up if you get a chance. But on that note, another thing that I personally want to add is the concept of discipline. Everything we talk about week after week in all of our shows represents critical steps in consciously creating meaningful, peaceful, happy, and healthy lives. And so when we come back from this break, I want to talk a little bit about discipline.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Depleted by the rat race? Depressed by the attitudes of the human race? The book Honor explains why and how to transform your life from confusion and heartache to one that you most authentically desire. Join Om Times Radio host Jennifer McKenna Weinbaum as she takes you on her journey from her darkest period to her happiest and healthiest life. Entertaining, enlightening, Honor will help you find and maintain the love and light in your own life. Visit www.universalabundance.com to pre-order your copy.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Listen, my life changed because someone was there to get me to use drugs. No one can understand. People think that having someone who will listen makes it better. I need help.
I'm listening.
I need help. I think that having someone who will listen makes it better. People understand. No one can get me to use drugs. My life changed because someone was there to listen.
Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to turn addiction around. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Before we went to break, I was talking about how each week, you know, Joyce, you and I talk about all these amazing, heavy concepts that are really, really easy to execute in your life if you get all of the other junk, these addictions to fear and shame and guilt out of the way, right? But it's all just a bunch of words and concepts if we don't first make a commitment to ourselves and then exercise the discipline it takes to execute on our values and our ideals. And I'm not saying we need to chew it all off at once and expect to digest everything well. I am saying, though, that it is a new year and we each can commit to one, just one, new act of discipline that leads us to the next. Because once you take on one thing and you just commit to one thing, it becomes easier and easier to, you know, take more control over your thoughts and actions. And so we're going to talk more about this in next week's show. It's called Saying Yes to You in the New Year. But I really wanted to touch on that today briefly. I mean, after all, why do we resort to addictions like drugs, alcohol, gambling, shopping, overeating, or self-abusive talk? Because we aren't exercising the discipline to do better for ourselves. Maybe just start with gratitude today. And see what a power boost that is in overcoming and preventing regret, guilt, and shame from taking hold. So, just a few suggestions. Joyce, back to you.
Love that. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, here's a few questions you can ask yourself. And you know, I find it just very moving into the new year, there was a lot of questions that I just spent some time asking myself because they help really clear out what you really want for yourself. And you know, how can you have a better, more meaningful life? So here, some of the biggest, most important decisions we make are about how to spend our precious time. Time is no small matter. In fact, it's our most valuable resource. So our beliefs about time and how we choose to spend it can be a beautiful expression of our passions and our priorities. Too often, though, it isn't the case. So take a moment as I read these questions and reflect on them, write them down and reflect on them when you have a few minutes. So the first one is, what activities bring you the most joy? What is most important to you? That is a very powerful question. What is most important to you? Is there an issue or cause that you care deeply about? So now answer this one. How much time do you spend every week on these things you care so much about? So hopefully you'll take time to just ask yourself those four questions and just see what it is. And are you doing anything about those? Are you living anywhere near them? Are just they're there, but you don't really do anything about them? So when I ask myself these questions, here's what I came up with. Activities that bring me joy are listening to jazz, writing, meditating, playing with animals, and being outside, pretty much doing anything that's outside. The number one important thing for me is my family and my friends. High priority. And the cause that I care about is women's empowerment and rights. That's pretty much what all my life I've been working with, women's empowerment. So when I look at my calendar sometimes for an average week, I notice, you know, like a Grand Canyon sized gap between my priorities and how I spend my actual time. And I think this is probably what other people would say also.
So nowhere on my questionnaire did I report perfectly folded laundry as a major life priority. Even further down on the list was not a spotless refrigerator. And yet much of my time was spent actually doing things that I really sometimes do not want to do, like spending way too much time in my office, cleaning my house on the weekends, and running errands that, you know, I'm not crazy about. So if you do this exercise and find that your interior for time well spent and your actual life does not quite line up, here are a few tips to bring them closer together. So I think in itself, that particular, you know, that particular exercise of just looking at what you love and are you really doing it answers a lot of where you want to go with your life in 2018. So here's some of the things that I do to sort of trick myself that I definitely put it on a calendar. So the most important thing is you've got to put it on a calendar. It's really not there. Chances are it'll never happen. The days and weeks can get away from you if you do not make a plan on how you're going to fit it in that weekly dance. If your dance class, your quiet time alone, a coffee with your best friend or your college roommate, you've got to have a calendar. It's got to put fun stuff on there, not just business stuff. The second one is, this is a trick I've done on myself, is I go ahead and it's purchasing tickets. And I go ahead and get tickets of somewhere I want to go, to the theater, to the botanical gardens, or to a food event. Because if you have a ticket, you're more likely to go to the event because you paid for it. So that's a trick I play on myself. And the other one is, recently I joined a group of women. It's called Women's Transition Group. And so joining this group, you know, encourages me to attend events again. So I have dinner with women that I, you know, just beginning to get to know, are rejoining my book club that I used to go to that I love, are going out and listening to jazz, or, you know, just hiking somewhere. Do it with a group of people. Do it with, you know, a couple women. These are three ways that you can really encourage yourself to have some fun in life and not just work all the time or do things that you really feel like you got to do, but you don't really. So, Jennifer, what do you think about this?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I think, you know, gosh, I've said to my kids 1,000 times, if it's not on my calendar, it's not happening. So, you know, don't blame me if it doesn't make it to the calendar. It's got to get on the calendar. And, you know, I think what you're saying is brilliant about the fact that we are so ready to schedule our business meetings, and we're so ready to schedule, you know, activities for the kids, and it all gets on that calendar. But our me time doesn't always make it there. Our social time doesn't always make it there. And I think it's critical that we equally prioritize them. And I, you know, I'm kind of laughing at myself as I say this, because my birth mother and I talked on the phone the other day, and we met that back in 2015, and we're very close now. And she says to me, this is a big confession for me to say, because I have not, with all that's been going on lately, in the holiday season, I was not really as good at that extreme self-care as I said I would be. And so what she says to me on the phone the other day is, I feel like I'm speaking to a 6-year-old. Remember to feed yourself.
Right.
And I thought, oh my God, do I need to start putting that on the calendar?
We hope not.
Right? So I think the bottom line of what I'm trying to say is, especially for those of you out there who are mothers, who are business leaders, and as you said, Joyce, entrepreneurs, it is incredibly challenging to prioritize yourself, because there are so many balls in the air, so many people dependent on you, and it's just really easy to do. So put it on the calendar. Listen to Joyce. This is really good. And purchase tickets. I love it. I regret that during that holiday season, and I was not living, I was living hypocritically. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm telling you all to do one thing and I'm doing another. I had to turn down, I think it was 2 live performances, 2 holiday parties and a birthday party, because I had too much going on. And I don't regret it, so I can say that for today's theme. I don't regret it because I did take care of myself instead. What I learned from it is if I get in front of it and prioritize these types of social events, I would have had the energy for them, and I would have enjoyed them immensely. So these are some of the things that I'm going to focus on doing better in the new year. So, but I think that, you know, more than anything, Joyce, I love that we're ending the show on a note of positive action, you know, that we're not just sitting here talking about things. Let's take action, everyone. And I think, you know, a big message is just follow your bliss. I think a lot of our stories today and all of what we're saying, whether it was science-based or just personalized, your heart always knows. It's your brain that sabotages you. And in fact, one of the books that changed my perspective on life dramatically many years ago was a book called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And at the very beginning of the book, I mean, it almost kicks off this way. In one of the passages, God says, when we try to speak to each other, me to you, you to me, meaning God, we're having a conversation with God here, we are immediately constricted by the unbelievable limitation of words. For this reason, I, God, do not communicate by words alone. In fact, rarely do I do so. My most common form of communication is through feeling. Feeling is the language of the soul. If you want to know what's true for you about something, look to how you're feeling about it. Feelings are sometimes difficult to discover and often even more difficult to acknowledge. Yet hidden in your deepest feelings is your highest truth. And that was the quote from God. And so in this conversation with Neil, God is quoted as also saying, the highest thought is always the thought which contains joy. The clearest words are those words which contain truth. And the grandest feeling is that feeling which you call love. Joy, truth, love. These three are interchangeable, and one always leads to the other. It matters not in which order they are placed. So those are quotes I took directly from that book and that conversation. So there you have it, everyone. When we allow our brains to activate our reward center with guilt and shame, we ignore our highest truth, our highest purpose, which are derived from our greatest joy and our greatest love. And this, again, leads us back to Joseph Campbell's simple summary, follow your bliss. So, you know, those, I think, are some of my parting words for today's show. And I don't know, Joyce, if you engaged in any ritual for the new year, but I encourage my kids to join me for a really simple exercise this year. We fold a single piece of paper in a way that makes 12 even squares. And in each square, we write one simple thing. And so it can be conceptual, like do more for others, or it can be something specific, like go on a beach vacation. Anyway, we don't mark each box with a specific month because it's more like intention setting than goal setting. But it's a simple way for us to jot down the first 12 things that come to our hearts and our minds as something important to us so that we can include it in the coming year. And, you know, so the exercise is really about what you're saying is pull from our heart. What is it we really want? And let's get it down on paper. And then we hang it as a reminder. And it automatically helps us to prioritize those things that are near and dear to our heart. And then over time, we start making different decisions because we're looking at it. We're holding ourselves accountable. And then eventually we start incorporating it into our calendars. And then it gets done, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah. I don't know. Did you do anything to ensure that you're going to live a more meaningful life this year, Joyce?
Well, I actually did something that is just like off the cuff. Okay. I'll talk probably some more about this because it comes from a whole dream series. When I was in a dream group that I had this dream of called the chair, which is not, but I actually was walking in the shopping center and I saw the chair from the dream and I purchased it. And it is incredible. It is so fun and it represents my walking into 2018. It is a teal chair with flowers all over it and butterflies. And it's just like, you know, not many people would want this chair probably because it's really a strong statement. And I'm using that chair because I'm just, as my dream, the woman who I do dream group with said, see what the lessons the chair wants you to learn this year by bringing that in.
So that's what I did over, you know. Did I want to spend the money to get this chair? And it never was reduced, but there was only one left. And I said, I'm getting this. I can't stand it. So the chair just stayed in my brain all this time, like, you better go get me. You better go get me. And then I did. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I had that chair there. So, yes, that's what I did. That's represented. That's my gift to myself and to my dreams for 2018. So, you know.
I love it. You took positive action.
Yeah. I did. I did because, I would have regretted. I would have regretted if I hadn't allowed myself to have something that I really wanted, even though it cost more money than I thought I should. But that's where you break regret right there, is that I said, I'm going to get this chair, and that's the end of it. So. So. Yeah,
break
so
the cycle.
We wind down today. Yeah. We hope you walked away today with some great insights and tools to help you overcome to avoid regret. Start living a more meaningful life today. So, you know, we look forward to seeing you next week on Saying Yes to You in 2018. So be well, be happy.
Yes.
Live your life.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Bye.